You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 21st of August 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Yes, we've reached the end of another week. The weekend is on its way, and you know what that means. It means we have Grandpa Lampshade with us today. Grandpa, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's great. Great, Sven. It's Friday. Get to sit down, do another episode of Clown World in Review. We had a cold front pass through here, so now we're down into the low mid to upper 90s versus 105 plus. So it's just basically jacket weather here. So, doing great. Looks like we've got a great lineup today as well.
We certainly do. We certainly do. We've got two news stories today. We could have actually done three. It's like waiting for a bus and suddenly three come along at once, but I think we'll only get time to fit two in, and we have got two really good news stories for you today. The first one concerns the FBI. The FBI has been slammed over a reckless tweet where it shared a link to the anti-Semitic hoax text, The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, that inspired Hitler's Mein Kampf. And of course, I'm just going to stop right there and point out the two falsities in that. The first one is that the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion is not a hoax text. It was found by a court to be a forgery. Therefore, it wasn't actually written by the Learned Elders of Zion. But the fact is, if you actually read that book, it does describe exactly what has gone on ever since. It's not a hoax, it's a forgery. And the second point to make there is that it didn't inspire Hitler's Mein Kampf. I think it's mentioned once in there. I don't think he says anywhere in Mein Kampf that he was inspired by the protocols. He was inspired by what he saw around him. Do you want to make any comments on that, Grandpa, before we move on to more of this article?
Well, it'd be akin to if you look around your society today and you point out, which is a lot of people do, how much it resembles Orwell's 1984, and they started screaming at you that it's a hoax. It's a hoax test. 1984 is a hoax because it didn't happen in 1984, and none of those things, actually those people didn't even exist, so it's a hoax. It's like, well, no, yeah, it's a work of fiction, but it was used to illustrate things that, quite honestly, you could look at it as a prophecy because it's all come to pass.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter who it was by. It could be the protocols of the Freemasons, the protocols of the secret societies, the protocols of Skull and Bones. I mean, it doesn't matter who it was that actually wrote it. It does describe exactly what has gone on over the last 100 years and why it's gone on and the reasons for doing it and why we are in the situation that we are in today. I am surprised that the FBI tweeted it, but it's quite amazing that they did. I'm very pleased that they did. The FBI Records Vault, the Bureau's Freedom of Information Act library, consisting of thousands of files and records, tweeted a link to a 139-page selection of files on the Protocols of the Elders of Zion Wednesday afternoon. The tweet provided no context or information other than the title of the notorious text, leading many outraged social media users to accuse the Bureau of condoning and even promoting the text's anti-Semitic messaging. Well, the context is actually in the file itself. It's in the Protocols of the Elders of Zion itself. It says here that there were a 139-page selection of files on this, and the reason for this was because people were writing in to the FBI and sending copies of this book and saying, look, why are you not doing something about this? This is outlining what is going on in our society today. Why are you not going after the people that are implementing these protocols. And the people were quite innocently sending the book in and saying, look, you need to have a look at this, and somebody needs to be arrested for this, otherwise we are going to end up in a terrible situation. And of course, Russia did end up in a terrible situation with the Bolshevik Revolution. That was foretold in the protocols. It was the lead up to that. It's no coincidence that it actually first originated in Russia. But to say that there was no context or information, the context was there, because these files are basically, it's an archive of all the files and records that people have sent in to the FBI. It's their records vault, and they are sending out the records every day. They send out a new tweet. That was the context for this. But of course, there's been lots of screeching and moaning and complaining about this. Grandpa, do you want to say anything about this vault of the FBI?
Well, I'm sure this tweet account is probably a bot, and it probably just picks random files from the deal and tweets them out in case people are interested out. And it happened to tweet out this file. They're all acting like, oh, there's somebody at the FBI going, I'm going to put this out here without any context. And by context, they mean disqualification. And, you know, though I wouldn't promote drunkenness, if a body wanted to play a drinking game, you could listen to this show as we go through this story. And every time you read disqualify words about this in hysteria, you take a shot, because by the end of this 30 minutes, you will be smashed. Because they go so hysteric over disqualify, don't pay any attention, don't look at this, don't read it. And always is, this also is another example of these cases where we see these quote unquote news stories. And so much of the news story consists of basically copy and pasting, screenshotting people's outraged tweets as though this is a reflection of public opinion, when we know pretty much anybody with any kind of independent thinking capabilities already been banned off of Twitter. So look at these outraged tweets. Well, of course, they're outraged by leftists and commies of different, you know, different varieties. It's not really a shock here. So I don't even, you know, it just becomes tiresome when they try to promote that angle. But yeah, it's amazing as we go through this that we will see so much the overuse of hoax, 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 not real, you know, hoax. It's like, why are you trying so hard? Maybe people won't notice that so much of what was written down there, like you've said there, Sven, is pretty much come to pass.
Why do they keep calling it a hoax as well? It was a forgery. I mean, they're usually very forthright in condemning it as a forgery, not calling it a hoax. This is something new. Well, let's have a look at what they have to say here about the context. They say the Protocols of the Elders of Zion was a hoax text. No, it was a forged text that claimed to prove Jews were planning world domination. It was first published in Russia in 1903 before being translated into multiple languages and shared worldwide. Despite being proven as a hoax in 1921, it was widely circulated by automaker and anti-Semite Henry Ford throughout the 1920s, was used in Nazi propaganda to justify the persecution of Jews, and continues to be held up as genuine by neo-fascist groups, despite being proven to be a hoax. I mean, what have we got there? Three times, I think they've used the word hoax there. The FBI tweeted a link to a file that includes the text, along with records denouncing it as a fabricated historic document. However, with the tweet being sent without context or a disclaimer, social media users voiced concerns the Bureau appeared to be promoting the protocols. Why does it, what does it need to have with it on that tweet? I mean, surely people can see what it is. The whole point of it is that people can go into the archive and look at it. They can see for themselves. They can see what they make of it themselves. It's a historic document. It was shown that it wasn't Jews that actually wrote this, but it does appear to be a compendium of the sort of things that were being discussed in the secret societies at the time, because they said that the reason for saying that it was actually a forgery is because they managed to show that there were some parts from Machiavelli's The Prince that were actually used in it, and that was about how to rule over people, basically. There are also parts from it from Nesta Webster's work that she did exposing secret societies and the plan that the secret societies had for world revolution. These revolutions started with the French Revolution, and it made the way through the 19th century all the way up to the Bolshevik Revolution, and the secret societies had a big hand in this. It was just that when this was presented, they presented it as having been minutes from a meeting of the so-called Elders of Zion. It certainly wasn't a hoax. It's interesting that they admit that Henry Ford was actually circulating this, because they tried to say that Henry Ford's book, The International Jew, was not actually written by Henry Ford's journalists. They managed to get him to sign something saying that that was a forgery, and it wasn't actually put out by him. So it's interesting that they are actually admitting here that he did actually put copies of this book in all the autos that he sold, because it's a very compelling piece of work, and it does describe what is going on around us today. What do you make of the context that they put with this here, Grandpa?
I keep thinking of that old, how does that go? You know, I think the lady doth protest too much. I mean, who would have even noticed this, except they're carrying on about it hysterically and screaming hoax over and over again. And again, this would be like going on about the book 1984 being a hoax, because people are looking around and basically noticing that we've turned into a world where Big Brother is watching. And I don't think it really, if they just simply ignored it, who would even notice what the FBI library bot is tweeting out? But now we have a national news story, and we see all of this disqualified, it's a hoax. Oh, my gosh, it's anti-Semitic. Henry Ford was an anti-Semite. And, well, he was obviously a pretty smart guy, because, you know, he founded a company that's still around with us today. He revolutionized industry in the U.S. and really the world. So it makes, you know, a thinking person would go, well, so what are we supposed to believe? The guy was smart on a lot of levels, but on this one thing, he was a total idiot on, you know, that doesn't really add up. A thinking person would say, well, let's take a look at this and see if he's onto something. The disqualify stuff, they do this because they don't want people to take the time. Most people won't. To actually look at these things and read and try to understand the context of what's being said and understand. So same thing with Mein Kampf. I mean, my whole life I heard, you know, Mein Kampf is just the ramblings of, you can't even, it's difficult to read. Don't even try to read it. It's just the ramblings of a madman. It doesn't make any sense. It's hard to read. It's boring. Look how big and thick the book is. No, don't even buy. And then you sit down and you read it and it's like, well, no, it's actually pretty easy to understand. And wow, you know, there's some stuff that's pretty interesting here. It's nothing like all of the disqualify words. And then you realize that the whole point of all of that hysteria and all of that discouragement, don't bother looking at it, don't bother reading it, is because they, well, don't want you reading it. You know, I have not personally sat down and gone through this protocols things. I've skimmed it. You know, I get the gist of what was being laid out there. And I don't know that anybody really took it as this was literally written, you know, by this is like the minutes of a secret meeting or something. I think any thinking person would look at this and go, oh, well, this is an illustration being used to set forth what is happening, you know, what is planned for. And I once again, I think what's a whole lot more relevant is the fact that what was laid out as far as, you know, in this context, is what would happen and what would take place in the world has, for the most part, transpired. We're looking at the end results now.
I think your analogy there with 1984, it being a work of fiction that was warning about what was happening around us, I think that's very good. And it may not have been Machiavelli's The Prince. It was something called Dialogues in Hell. I seem to remember it was something to do with Machiavelli. But when you actually look at it, it talks about the fact that they're going to get rid of all the monarchies. They're going to put democracy in everywhere. It talks about the promotion of Darwinism, the promotion of sex education, the idea of promoting these slogans, freedom, democracy, human rights, all this sort of thing. That's all in there, and it's all come true. I mean, I've read it quite some years back, and I just remember being stunned that it was just so accurate as to what was going on around us. That analogy there with 1984 is perfect. And as you say, what they do here with these sort of things, they just show the Twitter response, and sadly that is all one-sided now. So we have some tweets here. What in the holy hell is happening? One outraged person tweeted, has Henry Ford taken over the hashtag FBI Twitter account? Another asked, referring to the car maker who funded the printing of 500,000 copies of the book. Another branded the Bureau's actions reckless for seemingly validating the book's anti-Semitic messaging. The FBI post had retweeted more than 12,000 times by Wednesday evening. So 2 points there I want to make. because of all the screeching about this, it's been retweeted 12,000 times and 12,000 more people have read it. I mean, Henry Ford did pretty well. 500,000 people read it. But thanks to people screeching about this and retweeting it in shock and horror, 12,000 more people have actually read this. And how do they mean that? Because the FBI tweeted it, that validates it. I mean, the book's actual message of this is what is going on around us is validated just by looking around us, just by looking at the monarchies for a start. We're not ruled by monarchies anymore. We're ruled by democracy. And the book explains the reasons why certain forces in society wanted that to happen, why they wanted these revolutions, why they wanted us to be divided. I mean, it's gone far further than the predictions in the book. We now have diversity. We now have multicultural cities, which we didn't have at this time, but it's validated just by looking around you. But I do find it funny that thanks to all the screeching, 12,000 more people have now read this book. I mean, that is just, it's just, you know, these minorities all over, isn't it? They will make such a fuss about these things. And because of doing that, they actually draw loads of attention to it. And they bring lots more people to our side. It's like when they attack us in the newspapers and all the comments are full of people supporting us and all our websites crash because there's so much interest and so many people that actually want to join us. Have you got any thoughts on the Twitter response here, Grandpa?
Well, yeah, I mean, as you pointed out, we've moved beyond it. Now we're in the epilogue of that was just like the prequel. Now we're in the epilogue and we're seeing these end results. And again, what matters is, you know, we've seen it take place. We've seen, you know, as you said, the monarchies have been replaced. Now we have the democracy. And are things better? You read, there's parts in there where they talk about replacing, you know, the importance of God and the family reunion, the family unit with chasing around after material things and money. And look at our society today. People sit here and say, oh, yes, the democracy is wonderful. The system we have now is the best thing ever. And you'd be like, well, why? Because I can buy a boat, you know, because I can run around and chase these things. What about your family? Well, it's a wreck. You know, I haven't spoke to my kids in 10 years it's a total wreck. But hey, look at these shiny objects I can go run after. You know, and that's what people apparently view a successful society as now. This is the frame in which people judge a society being successful. It doesn't matter how morally decadent it becomes, how degenerate it becomes. Success of a society, or your society being judged good or bad, is solely framed under how many shiny objects you can go chasing after. And you see these things and it's all come to pass. It doesn't matter that this isn't a actual legitimate minutes taken from a secret meeting. What matters is we're seeing the end results. So obviously, what does this tell us? This tells us that these things, these results of what we see in our societies today, they're not the result of happenstance. They're not the result of, well, you know, this just is just randomly the way things worked out. We are where we are at today because of the collective actions and the collective strategy that has been pushed not just in single nations, but worldwide.
It's deliberate, isn't it? It's not by chance. I mean, that's the main thing that the book gets across, that all of this has happened deliberately and it benefits certain groups for it to happen. And it hasn't happened by chance. I mean, one of the bits that I remember is they talk about replacing the aristocracy of merit with the aristocracy of money. And of course, that is what we have today. The aristocracy are the people with the most money, not the people with the most merit. Well, the FBI later expressed regret for the distress caused by its tweet and said the social media post was the automatic work of a bot. I mean, what distress is really caused by this? I mean, are we supposed to pretend that the book doesn't exist? Are we supposed to pretend that people weren't sending it into the FBI? People weren't concerned about this in the 20s? Are we supposed to just blot out all of that history? And it seems to be that's what certain people would like the FBI to do. They'd like to do that with a lot of our history, I think, is just pretend it wasn't there. We can't do that. We have to accept the history that we have, and we have to face up to it. And it doesn't matter if people are distressed by it. It's facts. It's history. It's what has happened. We have to look at it. Records requested under the Freedom of Information Act are posted on the vault, and then an automated system promotes their release on Twitter. Earlier today, FOIA materials were posted to the FBI's Vault and FOIA Twitter account via an automated process without further outlining the context of the documents, the Bureau told DailyMail.com in a statement. We regret that this release may have inadvertently caused distress among the communities we serve. So there you have it. There's the answer. It's just an automated Twitter account. It's not another Holocaust. It's not another pogrom. The FBI aren't rising people up and trying to get people to go and pogrom the Jews. It's just an automated bot and a freedom of information account, because that is a part of our history, whether certain people like it or not.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. But the thing about with commies or SJW, whatever you want to call them, is that every day is day zero. You pointed out the importance of history. And likewise, the flip side of that is for these people and their ideology, history is an enemy. History is viewed as an opponent, as an enemy, something to be destroyed. For them, every day is day zero. Last week's history cannot be spoken of, much less 100 years ago or 20 years ago. It's always day zero because they're always trying to create a new reality, a new world shaped by their narrative. And for people that are just maybe listening to this and they're like, well, there they go with the anti-Semitism again. Look, I mean, the oligarchy is the oligarchy. And if it makes you feel any better, corporations are a part of the oligarchy. Okay. If you don't want to have this triggered reaction about I'm being accused of anti-Semitism, you know, look, corporations are a part of the oligarchy. There's a whole machine at work here. And again, what this points out is this didn't happen by happenstance. There is a group, there is a concerted effort that has pushed these things in this direction, and the end results speak for themselves. I mean, if I sat there and told you, I don't know, your mailbox is going to get knocked down because there's people going around the neighborhood knocking mailboxes down and you're just a crazy kook, but you go out and your mailbox is knocked down, you'd be like, well, maybe he's right. Maybe there's people going around knocking mailboxes down in my neighborhood. You wouldn't sit there and say, well, you know, it's a hoax, or it's you didn't go knock the mailbox down, so it didn't really happen, or anything such as that. I mean, it just points out that, again, these things didn't happen by they're not happening by happenstance. This isn't all just a weird accident that things have turned out this way. And it's important, because things are continuing down this trajectory. If you take nothing else away from it, you understand that this isn't something, well, that was then, this is now something new. You fall into that trap of today is day zero that the commies want you to fall into. The trajectory of what has started continues now. And as long as people go around with this mindset that this is just happening because whatever accidental thing, you're going to keep being frustrated and you're going to keep falling into just frustration and not understanding the world around you.
You make a good point there. The oligarchy is made up of all different types of people. I mean, the protocols may as well have been the protocols of, as I said earlier, of a secret society. It was just that they hanged it on the Jews at the time because it was the Jews that were the most prominent of these groups that were pushing for these things. They were the most prominent amongst the communists and amongst the Bolsheviks. But it really doesn't matter who it is that is behind it. That is what is going on. And once you know that, then you can resist against all the tricks that are put in there, and the promotion of pornography and the promotion of entertainment and the materialism and the getting yourself in debt to the bank and all that sort of thing. All of that can be resisted because you know what the ulterior motive is. It isn't selling you freedom. And talking of history there, when they're not trying to just pretend that history doesn't exist entirely, such as in the case with the protocols, they're trying to twist history and pretend that it's something completely different. I have an amazing article here from The Sun about transgender Vikings. Transgender Vikings ransacked Britain more than 1,000 years ago, historians believe. So not just one Viking, but transgender Vikings, plural. There was a huge gang of these transgenders that were marauding throughout Britain, and it's not just one historian, it's historians, plural. This is the narrative now. The Vikings were transgender. The fearsome Norse warriors were thought to be red-blooded males, but that traditional notion has now been thrown into doubt. A 10th century burial site in Sweden, believed to hold a male fighter, turned out to have a female skeleton inside. And that's it. That is their proof. Somebody made a mistake on the gravestone and said that it was a man instead of a woman. That is literally all the proof that they have for this, and yet they've made this whole article out of it. Grandpa, what do you make of the claim that the Vikings were trannies?
This is why science is a joke now. It really is. They put this stuff out and tell you it's science. And yeah, you have a case where they expected to find a male in there and they found a female. And instead of saying, we thought we were going to find a Viking guy, you know, warrior man in there, instead we found this female in here. But they make this leap now to they were trannies invading, I don't know, ransacking Britain. This is why science has just become a total joke, because it's just another arm of the leftist political thing, and yet they try to put this air of legitimacy on it by calling it science, by saying, well, this is the opinion of experts. But when you get down to it, it's absolutely nonsensical. This is, like you say, you get to the meat of it, and this is what they have. They expected to find a guy. They found a girl. Thus, it must be transgenders. Now, that having been said, I kind of look at the Scots with a funny eye because they wear them little, what is it, the dress looking things and the bagpipe. I don't know, man. Looks kind of how the Scots are mad at me now. Just a little joke there. Be easy. I'm not an expert. I'm not a scientist.
You would think maybe they'd find some evidence of pink longships or attacking people by beating them with their handbags instead of using their battle axes. But Neil Price, archaeology professor at Sweden's Uppsala University, claimed they may have been transgender or non-binary or gender fluid. I mean, imagine that. You know, these terms that have only just come about in the last 10 years, and they're trying to project them 1500 years into the past just because somebody got the gravestone mixed up and put the wrong name down. Just unbelievable. And this is a proper archaeology professor that is saying this, not a gender studies activist. In a new book, he says, we think the most likely explanation is that this was a female warrior, but there are other ways of reading this. It may have been someone who, in our terms, was a trans man. Someone living as a man. Vikings first invaded Britain in the late 8th century, with their final raid coming in 1066. They were barred from breaking gender norms of behaviour and dress. Well, if they were barred from breaking gender norms of behaviour and dress, why on earth would he think that this was somebody who was a trans man? Why would they think that it was somebody that had cut their bits off, or it was a female warrior living as a man? I mean, they don't actually say what was going on here. I think you may have got cases where you may have had female warriors that pretended to be a man. There are cases of that happening. But I don't think that they were transsexuals at all. I think there were other reasons for that. But to think that that was the case here just because they found a grave with the wrong gravestone on it is just beyond the pale, I think, especially when they were barred from actually doing this. So, I mean, it's quite obvious that no, they didn't have this here. And in actual fact, we have traces of people that were executed for sodomy, and they were thrown into the bog, and they drowned in the bog, and their bodies were preserved. And that was the treatment for somebody that was homosexual back then. So to come out with this suggestion that we think this is the most likely explanation is just ludicrous, Grandpa.
Well, let's see here. Let's use some common sense here. What's more a reasonable assumption to make here, that the person in the grave may have been transgender, non-binary, or gender fluid, or she might have been someone traveling along with their camp, you know, preparing meals and things such as that? Let's see which is a more reasonable explanation. I just don't know. It's all just so absolutely confusing. And I think that this is a very offensive article in the fact that they say they found a woman in this grave. When how do they identify it as a woman? Because apparently gender isn't, you know, these things aren't specified by DNA. So how do they know it wasn't an actual man? They're just assigning this gender to this skeleton, without any consideration of what that person might have self identified as.
It's a real life meme, isn't it? There was a meme a while back of people digging up skeletons and saying, well, we can't tell what it is because we don't know what the skeleton identified as, even though, you know, I mean, it's obviously either going to be a male or a female skeleton. Well, Professor Price believes the burial find proves that some Vikings broke the rules. He added, the Vikings are likely to have had as sophisticated a sense of their identities as we do. Seriously? What is it, 56 different sexualities they have on Facebook, and that came about just over the last 5 years, and they're now projecting that all the way back into the past and saying that the Vikings had that as well? It's not just him saying this either. He was backed by Amy Jefford Franks, who presents a podcast called The Vikings Are Gay! Exclamation mark. So there's a whole subculture around this, it seems, that are trying to force this idea on us that Vikings are homosexual and transsexual. And this Amy Jefford Franks is also an academic, and she says, my view is that there were transgender Vikings and there were queer Vikings, and that while it was not widespread, it was on the fringes of acceptable culture. Well, how can it be on the fringes of acceptable culture when it was the death penalty for that, as we've seen by these bodies that we find in the bog? Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on the Vikings being gay?
They're backing up this assumption by talking to some random podcaster that I've never heard of. It's nice to know that podcasters now could be experts, you know. My line is open, I guess. These university professors and the media can now reference and ask me my professional opinion on all of these things. It's just, again, what a joke academia is, isn't it? I mean, the bottom line of the meat, the nuts and bolts of the story is they said, oh, we're going to dig up this grave. We think we'll find a man. Oh, we found a woman. And then everything after that is projection. They don't go chasing facts. They don't chase the evidence. They're not doing any sort of science here. They just simply project their politics onto it's something that a grave, a corpse, a skeleton they found, and that's it. But we're supposed to accept that these people are somehow experts, they're somehow a part of science, and they should be trusted, and we should listen to everything they say. And it's so ludicrous, and yet it's being written about here as though it's serious. It's something that we should look at this and scratch our heads and go, very, very interesting. Oh, wow. I never thought of it that way. This nonsense is she's got this whole Vikings are gay thing. I can't help but to think about, you know, in Japan, how like a lot of the females like BL anime or BL manga, you know, and it's just like looking at that and saying, oh, my gosh, all Japanese are gay because you found like some BL manga or something. It doesn't even make sense, because it can't make sense, because this is just all crap that they make up in their minds and then project out here. But yet is presented to us by news sources, is presented to us as coming from people in authority, people of knowledge, people that know what they're talking about. Experts. And so we're supposed to fall in line and take these things seriously.
I bet the poor stonemason at the time when he was chiseling out that grave marker, I bet he never thought that when he forgot to put the sig rune there, when he was carving out misses, that it would create all of this 1500 years into the future, and they'd be claiming that him and all his friends were gay and transsexual just because he forgot to put an S there when he was carving the marker. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.